Thank you, Brother Sides. Take your Bibles, please. And let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. And we'll be looking at verses 28 through 31 for our text verses. Thank you, Pastor, for an opportunity to preach. I feel fairly comfortable behind this podium. People call this a pulpit. I'm standing on the pulpit. This is a podium. And so I feel at home here. You know, we appreciate the way the pastor treats Dr. Barber and I. He treats us royally. And I promise you that doesn't happen in many, many other places. And so, Pastor, just a word of appreciation. And God is blessing, doing great things under his leadership. And we're glad. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, we live in a culture of stress. How many of you would say, I sort of believe that? We live in a culture of stress. Stress can bring on discouragement. It can bring on depression. Probably everyone here today has some kind of stress point in your life. Maybe it's a large one, maybe it's not so large, but some kind of stress point. The days are too long and the nights are too short. Did you ever feel that way? And then we find that maybe we feel like we're the chief rat in a rat race. We are having the pressures that are put upon us even as Christians, as God's people. So I want to talk to you about how to handle stress today. Look at beginning with Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. If you want to really be blessed, read the whole chapter. If you want to see God lifted up and how great God is, Isaiah chapter 40 is one of the greatest. So he says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths, young people, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I love this verse, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall man up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a promise that God gives us in that verse. What about the problem of stress? We look at these verses, verses 28 and following. And there are two categories of people. One category is in verse 28, that's God. Just take a glimpse there in verse 28 as a reminder of how great God is. And he's asking the question, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, he's always the I am that I am, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, think of that, fainteth not. God never gets tired. He doesn't faint. Neither is he weary. He doesn't get stressed out. He's not weary. He's not worried about anything. He's not worried about the future. He already knows the future. That's God. Neither there is no searching of his understanding. He doesn't have to try to figure anything out. He already knows. It's already figured out by God. That's God. That's the first one we see here. We need to thank God for who he is. But verse 29 is talking about the rest of us. He giveth power to the faint. That's us. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's you and me. And to the youth that shall faint, that's some of us. And to the weary, he's describing people that are under stress, that have a lot of stress in their lives. And so he describes us in that way. Now, what is stress? It's sort of, here are the demands over here on this side. And I mean, they're great. Some of them are good. And they're pushing and pressing and pressing us all the time. And over here on this side is what we have to have and need to have and should have in order to meet these demands over here. But sometimes these demands over here, we would understand and realize are seemingly greater than our ability to meet those demands. And that gap in between is what we would call the stress point. We do have stress in our lives in different ways, in different manners. But that's the gap, the stress factor. It's the ought-tos versus the can'ts. We ought to do it, but we just seemingly cannot do it. And I can believe today that it affects all people. It affects executives, but not just executives. It affects laborers, those that are working out in the factory. It affects waitresses. It certainly affects homemakers. It affects ladies in the home. It affects a lot of people, a lot of stress points in our culture today. In the workplace, many of you are dealing with stress where you work. They're not fair to you. They don't treat you right. They don't appreciate you. You're working like crazy, and you're trying to meet the demands that they put on you. And I've worked in a factory before where they want you to, you know, just get it going faster. Production, 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 production. I remember one time when I worked in a factory, they brought in a team. They were really going to show us how we needed to be more productive. And we had a lot of students from the Bible Baptist Seminary that were working there at that factory. And so they brought these people in with stopwatches and pads and all of that. And they wanted to get more production out of us. And everybody whispered to each other, slow down a little while. Just slow down. And then when they say, let's have some production, then speed up right where you were before they came in. So that's what we did. It's all about production, production, production. We passed, by the way. Finances. I don't want to get political, but things are not good as the mainline outlets tell us, the newscasters. A lot of people are suffering already. There are a lot of things. They were talking about on television the other day that all of these pawn shops are just filling up with people. Some of them are taking their Rolex watches and all of that there just to make the rent, just to pay the bills. And so finances, some of you today, I guarantee in this building, are pressed right now with some financial load. Some you brought on yourself through plastic, and you need plastic surgery, but some you didn't bring on yourself, it just happened. It's just something, it may have been a medical bill or something. And then death gives us stress. And education, there, our students are going to the universities and the colleges, and there's all kinds of pressure to succeed and to make the dean's list and all of those things. Children, we have pressure points for them. Some of you parents are dealing with teenagers who are really having problems with drugs and pornography and rebellion against you. We talk about empty nests. It seems to me like a lot of it is re-feathered nests anymore. A lot of them are coming back home. They go out in the world. They can't face it. They hadn't been trained or taught right. And so they're headed back home and living with mama and daddy. That may be all right for a while, but that's not normal. The social media. My goodness, the time it has taken up and the stress factor between some of those things and the social media. And yes, leave TikTok alone. Traffic, my soul. I used to enjoy, I could get to the church when I first came here in 9 minutes, Dr. Barber. 9 minutes from Burleson. Now it takes 25 minutes. And if I don't get caught, I can get in about 20 minutes. But the traffic has picked up. And don't you love all the traffic we have today, the stress out there? And they tell me that women are stressed out about their looks. They're all concerned about how they look and spend hours and money and all of that. I'm not putting that down, ladies. I'd rather you look like that than the other way, but Don't let it stress you out, right? Health spas used to be where you went to build up your muscles and lose weight. That's all changed now. Health spas are where you go for stress relief. And now they have included not so biblical a thing called something that has to do with yoga and New Age music. This is the trend of today. Why? People are stressed out. And by the way, there's one thing for sure that's going to stress you. Guess what it is? Sin. And I want to tell you, if you're practicing a known sin in your life today, you are going to have some stress. And you've got to get rid of that, judge it, stop it, turn it over to God, get the power you need to overcome, and everybody can be an overcomer. God has given us that way out for those things. Sin is a stress factor. There are physical effects, they tell us. Headaches, increased depression, heartburn, sleeplessness, insomnia, weakened immune system, risk of a heart attack, high blood pressure. According to the American Institute of Stress, 76% of Americans feel stress and feel like it impacts their health. And 120,000 died. Listen to this. If it wasn't true and factual from them, I don't know if every little number is right, but 120,000 die annually as a direct result of work-related stress. The studies prove that. Healthcare cost annually $190 billion. Healthcare costs, and a lot of it goes back to stress. And may I say to you, stress is a fact. Stress is fact. Some of us are all stressed up and don't know where to go. We go to the Lord. That's where you better go with it. Secondly, the provision of sufficiency. Well, let's go back to verse 31. This is one of the greatest promises in all of the Word of God. I mean, a great promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, they can get through all of this stress. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That takes in the three age categories. But also, it is a admonition to us that we can overcome stress. And this is one of the greatest promises. God has not left us without sufficiency, the provision of sufficiency. And so we've got to go back to verse 28 and other verses in this chapter and focus on God. When you focus on yourself, that's the wrong thing. Focus on God. God is where our focus should be. Dr. Adrian Rogers said the sin is not stress, but failure to take the help God has available to us. The sin is not stress, but failure to take the help God has available to us. And it's there. And what is that? Waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? It means have hope. It means there's something out there for you, something that can help you. And looking forward to God, looking at God, and God can help you through those stressful points. First thing he says he gives us is the ability to fly in the rough and rugged times of life. The ability to fly. What are you talking about? Well, the eagle. It's a beautiful illustration. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You think of the majestic eagle. You don't see an eagle going around like this. They don't do that. They catch those thermal heat things that are coming up from the earth, and they jump out of that nest, spread those wings, and they just follow those thermal patterns and go around. They don't have to work at it. They don't even get tired like other birds would get tired, so on and so forth. They are beautiful, wonderful, wonderful thing. An eagle. I like the idea of an eagle. And God tells us that if we wait on the Lord, then we're going to renew our strength like an eagle. We'll mount up with wings like an eagle. And it'll work. It's what God's word says. Eagles are fascinating. They have eyes, they tell me, that are larger than human eyes. Eagles can see so well. They have what they would call telescopic vision. The eagles can see way out there. They have beaks that are sharper than a butcher's knife. They have, they seldom try to flap their wings. They soar in the air. And an eagle is something that likes a storm. And we can learn from that. An eagle doesn't run from a storm. An eagle loves a storm. And they jump out into the storm because the storm is going to take them higher and higher and higher. It's the delight of the eagle. The eagles sometimes, most of the time, fly about 50 miles an hour. But in a storm, they'll fly up to 80, 100 miles an hour. That's moving on. But that's in the storm. They don't let the storm get them down. He said, you'll get strength again, like an eagle. You'll be able to spread your wings. You'll be able to fly like an eagle. And so many different parts that are wonderful about the eagle. We may not like the flying lesson that the eagle has to give their little eaglets. Do you know the eagle has to learn just like anybody else? They have to learn just like anybody else. They build their nest. We were up in Florida with some friends and out on a lake, and we saw a big, huge eagle's nest. It was rough looking. Big old twigs, big sticks, all kinds of things that did not look comfortable from down below where we were in the boat. But up there in that nest, they tell us that that eagle would have the feathers that would make that soft. And so there's a nest with the feathers in the bottom that made it soft. And then the eagle, the little eaglets are born. And so they have to finally come to the place that she says, you got to get out of this nest. You got to learn to fly on your own. Their feathers are soft. But finally, after that, she pushes them out. Back in Deuteronomy 3:32-11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. What's he talking about? She kicks them out. And they kick them out, and then she'll fly down, swoop down under them, catch them just before they hit the ground, and bring them back up, and do that a number of times until one day that little eagle puts out its wings and all of a sudden discovers, I can fly too. And it may seem cruel. I can see the little eagle saying, Mama, you sure what you're doing? Kicking me out of the nest like this? And sometimes we think that God is mistreating us, but I want to tell you, he's not. We have problems, we have storms, we have trials, we have difficulties. Sometimes God, we think, is being, we don't know what he's doing with us, why he's letting these things happen. But God is being good to us so that we can fly higher, actually. And so God allows that. Then there's the ability, secondly, to run in the rush of life. To run in the rush of life. Here he's talking about flying in the storms. Renew the strength, mount up with eagles, and then they shall run. Second way, running in the rush of life. Do you ever feel rushed? You don't have to be in a storm to experience these things. All of us, I believe, feel rushed. Some of you this morning on the way to church felt rushed because you didn't get up in time or you didn't get everything laid out the night before. I don't know, but we are rushed. Deadlines. We don't seem to be able to get the things done that we should do because of deadlines. There's enough time, I believe this, there's enough time every day to do what God wants you to do. Sometimes it's a matter of priorities. But I wouldn't insult God by saying you don't have enough time. I would not insult him. Sometimes we have to run to get it done. That's the difference. Some people don't want to run. And that's what he's saying. We wait on the Lord. And God lifts us up and we have the ability to fly in the storms and to run in the rush of life. So do what God tells us to do. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. What happened there? What did Philip have to do? He had to run and jump on the chariot and witness to that guy and tell him how to be saved. And he did. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And so we need to be like that. We need to pay the price and rush in life sometimes to get it done. But God will give us that strength. Wait upon the Lord and he'll give you the strength to run the race. We're in a race and we've got to run the race, and God gives us that power. And then the ability to walk in the routine of life. We fly, we run, and we walk in the routine of life. We walk and we do not faint. Walk and not faint. We have the rigors, we have the rush, and then we have the routine. That is something that we have to do and stick by every day, every day, every day of our life, the humdrum of life, the little things that we face every day of our life. Ephesians talks about being in the heavenlies, and we like that, to be in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, but it mentions seven times the Christian life is a walk. The Christian life is a walk. In other words, day by day by day. Victory is not in great attendance and great campaigns that come along the way, but it's in the plain, ordinary, everyday things of life, in my life, in your life. And that is breakfast for kids, dressing the kids, getting them ready for school. It's getting up and going to work. It's taking out the garbage, which reminds me of something. It's having quiet time and having prayer time in your life daily. It's being sweet to your mate, amen, ladies and men. Being sweet to each other. It's all day, it's every day, cold days, rainy days, hot days, any kind of day, every day, the routine of life. And you can be a Christian anywhere and get rid of the stress factor if you just do what God says. And we need to do that. I heard a story about a snail being at the bottom. We're talking about walking now, slowly. Snail was at the bottom of an apple tree, and the worm was up in the tree, and the worm looked down and said, "There's no need for you to come up here. There's nothing up here." And the snail responded and said, "It will be when I get there." So just keep plodding, keep going, keep doing, keep staying on the top of things. Don't be stressed out. Don't be depressed. Leave it in the hands of Almighty God. Then very quickly, thirdly, the promise of strength. And there it is in verse 31. He will renew our strength. You ever feel like you need strength renewed? He will renew our strength. What's the provision for that? Wait on the Lord. Renew thy strength. Wait on the Lord. What does that mean, wait on the Lord? What does that mean? It doesn't mean sit down and do nothing to see what God's going to do. That's not what he's saying. It means we're longing for him. Wait on the Lord. You're longing for the Lord. You want to be with the Lord. The psalmist said, 62:1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Wait on the Lord, longing for him. Are you longing for the Lord today? Longing for him. Is it all these other things out there you're longing for? Sports, trips, materialism, pleasures, all of that. Is that what we're longing for? Drugs, alcohol, sex. Or are we longing for the Lord? We ought to long for him. And then we ought to listen to him. You know, you ever noticed sometimes when you have a waitress, and she's done pretty good. She gives you the menu and brings you your meal and coffee, whatever it is, and then puts it down, and then she leaves. Maybe him. Most of the time it's a female, and then she leaves. Try getting a second cup of coffee. She goes, shoo, and you're like, she's not looking at me. She is not listening to me. Ma'am. And she just keeps going, and you can't get that coffee. And, you know, donuts are no good without coffee. Strawberry pie either, all of that. You can't get any service out of them sometimes. You know why? They're not listening. What about God? Are we listening to God? Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That's the blessed man. What he's saying is, I'm waiting for God to come out. I'm at the post by the door. I'm waiting for him to come through the door. I'm waiting for him to come out that door to instruct me and to have fellowship with me. That's what you need daily, is a quiet time with God. You need a time where you pray and read the Bible, cut out television, cut out a lot of the other extracurricular activities that would keep you from doing that, no matter how good they are, but get in the Word of God. Have that quiet time, listening to Him, looking to Him. Psalm 104:27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Who's he talking about? He's talking about sheep. That's what he was talking about in this context. And so he's saying, these sheep are waiting to get meat in due season. They're waiting on the shepherd. And you and I are waiting on him to feed us. And he does feed us. Do you believe God can take care of you? Say amen if you do. God can take care of everybody in this building. It's no challenge to him. Believe that he will take care of you. Longing for him, listening to him, look to him. And then one of the things that we need to do is live for him. Live for him. That's all part of it. Proverbs 27:18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. So if you go out and you serve God and you produce some figs on the fig tree and they come by and the master says, I like that. And then he rewards you, you will be honored. So getting back to that waitress again, if she does come back and do what she's supposed to do, you might give her a good tip. Some of you Baptists wouldn't tip anybody, but you ought to for your testimony. Give a good tip. So if we serve the Lord, and God's going to be pleased, and you know what? God will bless you. It's all part of this formula that he's given us here. So here it is, the gap in between these two things. All of these demands we have, time demands, financial demands, all family demands, on and on and on, sometimes being overextended in church ministry. That's a rare thing, but it can happen. But over here, all these things that need to be done to meet these things, and we say, Lord, I just cannot do it. And that gap in there is that stress gap. But when we turn it over to God and we call on God and we wait upon the Lord, do these things that I've just mentioned as well as other things, then what's the promise? What is the promise? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You need renewed strength today, and you need to change stress for the joy of the Lord. That's what you have to do. May I say to you, unsaved friend, if you're here and you're not saved, it all begins, hear me now, it all begins by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. That's where it all starts. You will never get out of the stress factor. And you talk about being stressed. When you die without Jesus, you'll be stressed. There will be no peace. There will be no comfort. It all begins with Jesus, and you can trust Christ as your Savior today. You can walk down the aisle and come, and somebody will show you how to pray and receive Christ into your heart. That's the answer to all of the things you face. That's the answer to depression. That's the answer to stress. That's the answer to all of the things that life gives us. It all begins with trusting Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have our invitation in a moment after prayer. If you have some stress today, bring it to the Lord. Brother Corey said, bring it to the Lord. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. That's what we need to do today. You have some burdens. You have some stress points. Come up to this altar. Get on your knees if you can, or sit on the pew and turn them over to God, or do it right where you are. And we need to be able to do that. Then we're going to have that strength. Then we're going to be able to fly like an eagle. Then we're going to be able to run like an athlete And then we're going to be able to walk steadily every day for the glory of God. If you need to come, you come. And then if you're not saved, come. If you want to join this church, just make your way down front and somebody will tell you how that's done if you want to do that. Let's pray and then we'll have our invitation. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of what this verse says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so, Father, there are some today here with a great deal of stress, no doubt some degree of stress. May we turn it over to you, casting all of our cares on you because you care for us. There's someone here without Christ. I pray they would step out and come now. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.